Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of the New Takes podcast, Resurgence of 80s Sound. I hope you enjoy this loose discussion on pop culture, and if you do, please subscribe to the show on SoundCloud, Podbean, or whatever you're listening to this on, or follow the show on Twitter at New Takes Pod. That's NU Takes Pod. Enjoy the show. James Asker. Today I'm going to be talking to you with my good friend Tom Hyam.
Hello.
I've known Tom for about 14 years now. Went to school with him, primary school. Secondary school with him, and I've known him up until we are both now 21.
Went to college with him for a bit.
Oh yeah, briefly, yeah. Well, before you dropped out.
Briefly a whole year.
Yeah. Tom is currently, after dropping out of college, building a brand. He's an entrepreneur of sorts. He's building Day One International, which is a fashion brand and an online media brand, but well, I'll let you tell it, Tom.
It's basically just a big collective vision of all the stuff that I find interesting. So like, I like music, some of the stuff, like bring people in who make music. I'm gonna do fashion, like that's my big interest for me personally. And so I'm doing that. We're doing movie production, so short films. We're doing, you know, anything that I think is cool or, you know, could be a part of the brand I'm going to be interested in. So if you're any of those people, please look at my Facebook page. Please submit stuff to me. I want to make it work for everyone. I think it'd be pretty cool. And yeah, part of it's doing this as well. So thank you for having me.
Spreading the brand. Yeah.
Getting some word out.
So yeah, check it out if you get a chance. I know I personally, whenever I listen to that stuff, I never end up checking it out, but this one might be worth it. This is one I can endorse.
This is damn worth it.
Yeah, man. Got some cool shit on there. And trying to take it places. I respect that. But sort of ironically, this podcast isn't really one of those things. It's not really a commercial venture for me. I'm actually more doing it for experience because I want to get into audio production. I want to do this sort of thing as a career. I'm not too bothered about being in front of the mic, but I thought this was a really good way to get experience. So again, I'm going to ask one more thing of the listener. If you like it, if you didn't like it, leave some feedback. Tell me some constructive criticism. And I just want to learn. That's the point of this. Like, I don't care if this gets one view or a million views. Although this is getting a million views, I'll be pretty happy on the first episode of a student's podcast. But that ain't happening. But yeah, you know, if it's good, tell your friends.
You know, tell bad, them to tell your friends.
Yeah, exactly. But tell them to give me criticism. That's but don't be dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. General good rule of thumb on the internet. Don't be dicks. But you know, I invite you to criticize me, whether that's foolish or not. But anyway, today we're going to talk about pop culture, like we always will on this podcast. It's going to really try and cover everything that that general term means, including films, music, TV, fashion, trends, you know. But the problem with that is generally today it seems to be like Game of Thrones and Marvel films and Justin Bieber. But that's part of what we're going to get to today. Like, we're not always going to be happy about pop culture. We might not be so bubbly about some of it, because I certainly don't like a lot. about pop culture.
Like pop culture's
swing and a miss sometimes, like hit and miss.
It's just been consistently a miss for a while.
On the whole, generally, not great. But I suppose that's just the problem with sort of like a populist form of art, is that it just has to be generalised and inherently not as good that way.
It's because nothing's ever as good the second time round.
Well, then it's not even that they're repeating it so much, is that?
Well, no, it's not repetitive, but it's they try to make it current by not leaving it as it was. Like, everything's like 80s influence, but it's not the 80s. That's why I think that's why I think it's such a miss.
Well, so we've actually just touched on our topics here. The things we're going to cover in this podcast before we went on that tangent, I'll quickly go over it. It's the resurgence of 80s, like the sort of reach back to the 80s culturally that we've seen first in films and TV and now in music as well. And we're going to talk about, you know, some of the examples of that and why we think the origins of that, like symptom. And then we're going to cover meme culture, hopefully, and a bit on, as well with music, sort of the Euro sound that's coming through on the charts recently, the sort of Euro pop, like Eurovision sound. But anyway, back to the 80s.
Everyone can cringe through the mic there.
I know, right? Like, I'm not a huge fan of all three of those things. Although the first one, I'd say, is easily the most bearable, because I actually do enjoy 80s music quite a lot.
No, I do as well. No, no.
It's really nice, and some of the most nostalgic tunes are some of the best. Like, I really like Toto Africa. I really like Steve Winwood. You know, a lot of it is really bad, though. So, some examples of what we're talking about here. The 80s music coming through. Because this is what first... It went subconsciously. I didn't notice it at first that everything had gone really 80s. I went and happily sat in the theatre and watched Star Wars. And I didn't watch Ghostbusters, but I heard it's bad. I didn't even really notice until a couple months back, probably quite late to the game, I was listening to some new albums that had come out, and I was realising that they had these 80s synth sounds and everything that had been coming back, and I was loving it, but why is that things have swung, that we've got this nostalgia for the 80s in 2017, that, like, why not the 70s, why not the 50s, why not the 90s? And the examples of that, like, you've got Calvin Harris's new album.
Yeah, the Soul Funk Wave, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
That's just an 80s, like, homage. That's, like, him, I think, saying that if he was in the 80s, that would have been him doing that.
Yeah, he'd have been doing the same thing, maybe.
But he's always pushed the 80s, he loves the 80s. All his, like, breakthrough songs were successful in the 80s.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That was very synth-heavy. That was...
So maybe it's his fault. Maybe he did that back in, what was that, like, 2010?
I mean, it's 9 years ago, 2008.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, man. Like 9 years ago, Jesus Christ.
That's nearly the 80s.
No, we're not that young.
I think another reason is that, I don't know. Well, you've got to remember that in 3 years' time, it'll be 40 years since the 80s began. Like,
that is a lot.
And we think of the 80s as, like, modern times. Like,
I know, yeah.
The 80s was the age of like, the cell phone and all that stuff, and, like, CDs.
Yeah, like, it wasn't that the 90s? I don't know. Well, I'm showing my age there.
Well, even though...
born in 96.
You could buy Walkman in the 80s.
Yeah, I remember Walkman.
I had a Walkman. An original Walkman.
I didn't have a Walkman. The Game Boy, though. But, so some more examples. You've got,
Tyler, the Creator's new album does sound a bit... Bits with Frank Ocean do. And this leads one to one of my points. Yeah,
Frank Ocean in general.
That's exactly... Yeah, Frank Ocean in general is a very 80s aesthetic person.
Yeah.
Like, you look at his, like, anything from, like, his music, like, right through to his style, to his, like, presence in, like, media... Like, his whole look and, like, feel is very 80s. Like, it's all very melodic and you know, like,
yeah, a lot of
very soulful,
like, early R&B melodies,
yeah, like that. But I think that that's true of almost everyone at Odd Future, is that they're trying to capture the 80s,
yeah,
like hip-hop vibe. It's not like in your face.
You know, I'd say Party Next Door as well.
Party Next Door, like, very good at it,
yeah. So yeah, more examples of it coming through. There's also an example I love of it. When I was saying I was listening to that new music, and I noticed it, Toro, I never know how to say it, Toro Imoa, Toro Y.
Toro Imoa. I think it's Toro Imoa.
Oh, okay.
I can work out, but there you go.
Well, his new album, Boo Boo, is very good. I
listened
love
to it at work the other day.
Yeah, it's
brilliant. My boss came out and was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, he doesn't like it. And I was like, oh, it's Toro Imoa. And he was like, oh, it's really good. And I was like, yes.
my parents liked it, funnily enough, when they heard it. I didn't expect that, but it's very 80s. But it's, you know, it's really chill. It's a very nice album. I rate it quite highly. But then also, we've seen that before music, it was in TV and film, copying the 80s. So obviously Star Wars, Ghostbusters. There was Stranger Things on Netflix, and Twin Peaks has season 2 now.
What else did they reboot? The other thing apart from Star Wars, the big thing.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Like,
it's been going on for ages. And South Park did a whole series, The Member Berries, where they all listen to Toto Africa and they love remembering Star Wars, and they don't care about politics because they're too busy remembering all the stuff from the 80s. And Back to the Future as well is still huge. And why is that? Why?
Because I think back then that was the originator. There was no, you know, the 60s and 70s, yeah, like, yeah, good films, but they didn't break away from what was possible.
The Beatles, the Rolling Stones.
Exactly, but like they were.
Birth of rock and roll.
But I think by the 80s, everything was getting so liberated, like,
yeah,
you know, pop music didn't have to be about, you know, girls and love anymore. Like, you had, like, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, which, remember, got banned from all of the, like, radio stations because of, like, what it implied. And then that was the
implication.
Yeah, well, like, that's what Relax is about, they think, is stuff like that, is sex and stuff. So,
well, it's sex with a man, I think.
Yeah. But, like, obviously,
I'm pretty
back,
sure I got that right.
In the 80s, you know, that was fucking, no, that was the, yeah, it wasn't that far, like, liberated, but people were more likely to talk about it. But
yeah, but apart from the whole AIDS scare stuff.
But when, like, you look at it, really, it wasn't just, like, you know, the typical, like, synth stuff that was, like, pop, like, everything in the 80s sort of, like, was the sort of, not modern pinnacle, but the first original pinnacle of that art, of that genre was, you know, think about, like, they were a bit later, but Daft Punk, and no, they did.
Yeah,
the
originators.
Marauder is the.
Giorgio Moroder is one of the originators, you know, with Donna Summers. And I love 80s synth. It's one of my favourite, like, well, instruments or, you know, whatever type of music to listen to casually when I'm just, you know, chilling. It's because it's just so nice to listen to. And there's also, you know, Jean-Michel Jarre,
yeah,
and Kraftwerk, you know.
Kraftwerk's
it. They're all sort of at the forefront of the breakthrough of it in the early 80s. I don't know, it's strange that of all the times we've chosen to reach back and get the nostalgia from the 80s, I think it might be because the 80s was sort of, there's this whole propaganda surrounding the 80s, especially in America, that it was like the greatest period ever and everyone could have everything they ever wanted. And, you know, New York in the 80s, Miami Vice and LA and Coke and OJ Simpson.
The American dream.
But yeah, you know, the American dream was at its height. And
it wasn't even the American dream, it was the world dream.
Yeah, everyone was doing well. All the oil and Coke and music.
But you think about it, that's because they had that, like, everyone had, like, worked, mankind had worked to that point. It was like the 80s, probably like the Renaissance period for, like, humankind. Because we just went not like a Renaissance in that, but like the whole way of human life changed. It wasn't just about family.
Well, no, it's just uber capitalism hit its peak, and everyone became like mega consumers.
Yeah, but that's like, but people,
and it was just before the technological boom as well.
People stopped. People stopped. Well, people stopped living for. Well, they didn't stop living for family life, but they realized that there was like with all these new technologies, like Japan. Obviously, we were Japan in the 80s was like a hub of like, you know, sound systems and CDs and everything.
Mm.
So like, but then it became more and more accessible, and everyone was like, "Do you know what? I'm gonna have a slice of this." Like, and everyone bought.
And
into
you could, and but it's sort of like the 50s in that way, in that the American dream was having everything, and you can have a nice oven, and you can do your dishes in a dishwasher. Yay! But anyway, we're on another tangent. The 80s coming back. Why do we think that the 80s are coming back? My first theory is that the tastemakers of today are the ones who either were born in or grew up in the 80s. People in their 30s, 40s, you know, very late 20s, maybe a little bit, that remember the 80s as... Because nostalgia, you always remember your childhood. It's like sweet pain, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's remembering the best times, which is your childhood. So my nostalgia is of the 90s and for some reason of, like, you know, Pokemon and playing on your bikes and in the park and Yu-Gi-Oh! And, you know, all the cartoons, Dragon Ball Z, Cartoon Network, Samurai Jack, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so they remember the 80s. And they remember all this pop, and, you know, that's why today, as the tastemakers, now that they're the ones who are finally at the point of, like, editing magazines and putting together radio shows and producing, you know, defining culture on a mass scale, as the tastemakers in society, they've made the 80s the cultural thing right now.
But the 80s, I think, hold so much historical weight as well. Like, you know, the most successful band of the 80s for pop music was Duran Duran. In the
really?
Yeah.
They're my mum's favourite. I didn't know that.
They have sold 110 million records worldwide.
110 million? Jesus, that's loads.
But Michael Jackson, obviously, is...
Oh, yeah, Michael Jackson,
no, but he's obviously a solo artist.
Oh, right, was that group?
That was group, pop group.
Pop group, oh, fair enough.
But then you compare that to Michael Jackson's album.
Wham, you'd have thought.
Yeah. They were quite a sort of British and American thing. Yeah, they didn't really like branch out. But yeah, Michael Jackson, obviously Thriller came out in 82.
Yeah.
That on its own got 110 million copies.
Mm.
That went 11 times. No, by American things, 110 times platinum. Wow. Like, imagine that. And it held number one for 40 weeks of the year.
Jesus Christ. Well done. See, that's when Michael Jackson peaked, and then after that, he was worse.
Thriller was one of the defining albums of the 80s.
Like, Rock, not Rock With You, Off The Wall is, like, his best album. But, so, another reason, then, to add to that, that I gave, that the tastemakers are the ones who remember the 80s because they grew up in it, you've also got an acceptance of that by the slightly older, because the people in their 50s and late 40s were like 20-somethings in the 80s, so they were having the most fun of all. So they're like, yeah, sure, let's have the 80s back, because that was a really good time.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe it's that.
Also, realised that some of the films in recent times that have obviously come back from the 80s. Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Terminator.
Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Superman, Batman, the original ones of the 80s.
Well, that's more. But, that has a longer history, doesn't it?
Aviator sunglasses originated in the 80s. You know, we've got games based around the 80s, like Vice City.
Yeah.
Is an 80s based game. Like, and that's weird because obviously GTA usually is a reflection of the time it's in.
Yeah.
And that's the only time it's ever strayed from not.
Mm.
Like, shout
I'm
out
glad
to
they did.
Hopefully GTA 6 does it again. I think that'd be
cool. No, London.
London.
God damn it. Come back to London. That would be the sickest one. Such a nice city.
I think I've actually got behind in my... We're in my room recording this, but I've got PlayStation 1 games. I do actually have GTA London for the PlayStation 1. Well, I nearly bought a PlayStation 1 today. £25.
I remember the PS1. Those are the days. See, that's my nostalgia. PS1s.
I was at work the other day, and there was a truck that, like, hauled some stuff in. And you know, obviously, when a truck has its, like, old, like...
branding taken off it. You can see like the behind it in the like it's slightly like shinier where the glue was, and it was just a black truck, and on the side of it you could just make out like a slightly different shade of black, the original Xbox logo. And I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to be that's when I used to like ship games consoles on lorries, like it was like it just said Xbox and like play different or whatever their slogan was.
Yeah,
it looked so sick, and I was just like, I tried to get a picture of my camera shit, so yeah, thank god this isn't a recorded
this is video an image. As well. Yeah,
maybe one day we'll have like a studio mocked up somewhere and it's, actually
yeah
set
a live stream when we have a podcast that will actually be listened to.
We'll do like a year review at the end of this year. We'll invite everyone who's spoken here to back in one place. And we can
yeah,
talk about
a round table. That'd be nice.
We can do a round table one thanks to the beautiful power of the Snowball Blue.
The beginner's kit.
The beginner's kit.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to mention on the subject of the resurgence of the 80s is noticed by me in the video for Raph by ASAP Rocky and everyone else in that group. And it's you look at it, it's very sort of simple, sort of like, you know, like the old style camera effects where it's like like you know when you drag a window on the computer and it like does a trail of windows.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. Like you look at it and it's sort of it's shot in lo-fi film, like really basic camera tricks.
Yeah.
The whole clothing situation is 80s all the way through, like really like practical stuff and skin tight stuff. I think as an artist, ASAP Rocky is one of those people that is he brings his fashion and style so close together. So those are two. Those are the two things you remember about the 80s. The music and the fashion. Because obviously you see the resurgence now of like classic football t-shirts and, you know, all the, like, you know, the teddy bear stuff with Ralph Lauren came out in the 80s. Like,
very good point. All the colours as well. Like,
bright colours. The colour schemes, like, you know, pinks and like hot pinks and hot blues. Yeah. Like Miami Vice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But that's all back now. And, you know, people like ASAP Rocky, obviously, who are the influencers.
Mm.
You know, let's not forget, he's only, what, 26? He's not that old.
Yeah.
He's an influencer and he loves that shit. And everyone buys that because he likes it.
Yeah.
You know, like, he wears,
people
like,
follow him on Instagram so they wear what he wears.
Like, you look at the Gucci collection for this year, it's 100% 80s. And he's, like, in interviews, he's always wearing, like, at least one thing out of it. Like, he loves that kind of, like, 80s look. And it reflects in his music as well. Like, a lot of his music's very, like, 80s inspired. And, like, he talks about Michael Jackson, like dying because everyone scrutinised his actions and his music was always under fire and everything. Talks about Kurt Cobain and all sorts. So it's, like, that's, like, very late 80s, like, right, early 90s.
Yeah.
But all inspired by the same sort of moment.
It's nostalgia. It's throwing back.
Well, ASAP Rocky's one big nostalgia trip. I mean, listen to Live, Laugh, ASAP. And that's all I can say about it, really, is that, no, that's an influence.
Very good point.
Take on a trip there.
Yeah. So another trend I've been noticing recently is that along with the resurgence of 80s sound in pop music, we've also got a lot more sort of European pop sounding melodies and hooks in the charts right now. And I've been going to work every day, sat in a greasy spoon calf. And they got Radio 1 on, and it sounds like some Turkish radio station at a hotel, and the Macarena could come on at any point. Like, it's really odd. And I don't like it at all. I sort of think I understand it. I have theories on it, just like with the 80s. I can't really pinpoint it. But, you know, I think it's obvious with songs like Despacito. It's been number one or number something in the charts, high. For an extremely long time, I've heard a million times, that is obviously catering to the Spanish and Mexican markets.
Latin America.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like, they're making money out of it being appealing to both Americans and Mexico and South America and Europe, rather than just for England and the US. And England's kind of following suit now. And, I think it's obvious with Despacito becoming the most streamed song of all time in 6 months or a year or however long it's been on, it feels like forever.
6 months since it came out.
Yeah. And then, you've also got, I don't know any of the names of the songs in the charts right now, but I guarantee if you listen to some, it sounds like, you know, some really simple, poppy hook that you'd hear it in on hotel radio, and it'll be like some synth accordion, something like that. It'll be really simple and twee, and it'll stick in your head all day. But I think it's because America, and especially with Despacito, have realized that they can cater to a larger market with that kind of music, and it can get more listens, and it's all a streaming war now. And I think Gangnam Style was a massive example of that as well.
Gangnam Style was just, that is pop culture.
Yeah, that's, it was for so long.
That's something that you're going to look back on when we're old and still rad and think, why? Like, yeah. There's stuff like from, like, you know.
Well, I didn't like it at the time.
People used to fucking love Culture Club, but no one fucking touches them now.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it's just a fad. It comes and goes.
I'm not saying, like, Gangnam Style and Culture Club are two similar things, but in the same way that we all, like, had Gangnam Style, like, and then it sort of...
Yeah, they're the biggest thing on earth, and then they're gone.
Exactly. Like,
no one's listening to that guy.
And the problem is that he still earns good money off that.
Well, is that a problem? Good for him.
Well, no, okay.
But yeah, like, people are still listening to that somehow. Like, didn't that, like, have, like, 1 billion views in, like, I don't know, a month or something?
It was the first thing to break a billion. It was the first thing to break 2 billion. And it's now a toss-up between that and Despacito about who's going to get 3 billion first. They're both on...
But yeah, Gangnam Style's been out for, like, 3 years, isn't it?
5 years.
5 years, Jesus.
Late 2012. Jesus. And didn't we fucking know about it at college, eh, boy?
Yeah, I didn't like it at the time. All the dancing. So, I also think another reason for this Europop coming back is the sort of Europe's distaste with consuming American culture, and it's starting to produce its own. And starting to decide that actually it wants to listen to what it wants to listen to, and not just whatever comes out of America and trickles down.
Yeah.
And they don't want British songs; they want Despacito. And I just think this trend is another example of populism spreading and, you know, diluting pop culture. And I can whine about it, but it's just sort of. It's going to happen. There's no way of stopping it. It's an inevitability. And I sound very down on it.
I wouldn't say it needs to be down on it. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of a cheap shot.
Yeah.
Like, really.
Yeah, it's just, it sells a lot and it doesn't sound that good and it's not doing anything new. And really, that's all I want music to do, is just try new stuff, be original, because then music would be better.
It would progress naturally as well.
Yeah.
But the problem is that if you try and be different, oftentimes not, you know, everyone knows it, and you know, it's a big thing to say, but society is not ready for individualism just yet. Like it's not as prominent as it was. A massive point where, like, you doing your own shit was, like, seen as the coolest thing in the world. Like, you didn't give a fuck or whatever. But now it's become uncool again.
It's herd mentality.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that's the thing, is, like, and it does reflect, like, I mean, but we're not doing it because that's when the 80s, that's the thing about the 80s, is that it was a time where everyone was individual.
Yeah.
Everyone had their own shit and everyone enjoyed their own shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was a lot, like, the last bit of the, like, hippie and the 70s, like, groove had gone.
Mm.
And, like, you think about it, like, the 80s, like, you know, hip-hop came around for the first time properly, like, it was when it properly came to the forefront.
Stars were born in the 80s.
Royalty was born in the
80s. That's a cliche, isn't it?
And who was the best-selling female artist of the 80s?
I don't know. Madonna?
Yep.
Oh, what great
there
guess.
There you go.
See, yeah, I know the 80s.
Madonna was the most... And Like a Virgin was the most sold female solo.
Yeah.
And that was like 180 million. It was more than Michael Jackson on
Not
figure
quite.
For figure.
2.9 bill, is it? Bet she didn't make quite as much money as Bieber does either.
Also, shout out to Madonna. Please give up.
Very true. So the last topic we want to hit is meme culture and sort of the effects of meme culture and how big it's gotten and what some of the ramifications are of that in society. I mean, you see it on Facebook everywhere. Like, it's infiltrated Facebook for one. Used to be you had to go on like 9gag or something.
Reddit.
Yeah. now it's Facebook. Facebook is memes. Like, it is. You scroll through, you can spend hours just scrolling through. It's pictures with captions, those stupid block vertical caps on the top and bottom of the videos.
I'm not going to lie to you, though.
It's not funny, but it
sort of is.
It's a cult. It's one of those things.
I'm guilty.
No, I'm guilty with a couple of things, but it's only when it's like an original meme. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I see a lot of shit and I look at it and I'm just like, what the fuck are people doing?
That's the problem, is that meme culture is either original and funny, or it's the same thing about 50 times.
Yeah.
Like the Rock meme there was, where it was like Dwayne, and it would be like something that was like rhymed with Rock. So it'd be like Dwayne the Clock Johnson. It's like his face like photoshopped onto
as
a clock.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, no.
All other kinds of shit.
Like, because people just repost. And again,
him as a battery. It's Dwayne the Shock Johnson. Like, stuff like that. And we're both laughing.
It makes you laugh, yeah.
But it was original. But then it's like when you see, like, there were like loads of, like, oh, Dwayne the Antique Clock Johnson. Yeah. Like, and it, like, it sort of got dead.
It's another form of populist, like, culture. There's just general. It's a generalized thing that's been diluted because everyone can do it. Anyone can make a meme. Not everyone can be Louis C.K. Not everyone can do stand-up. But everyone can make a meme and repost it. And they're just the sort of the lowest form of comedy, I think. Like, worse than sarcasm. It's just like...
Well, these days you can make a fucking meme on Snapchat.
Everything is memes now. And it's just... Everything goes viral. People are becoming famous out of it. And, it, like, people aspire to be, you know, internet stars. And it's just a bit odd. It's born a generation of people that are very attention-seeking, that think everyone wants to hear their opinion all the time, that really think they're the centre of the universe, because they don't have any perspective, because it's all about having to be me, 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 because everything's so competitive.
Very true, it's why memes are me-me. But no, like, that's a serious point that you've raised, is that we live in a... For an era that's so, like I said earlier, it's not forward-thinking anymore, it's not, like, breaking boundaries.
Mm.
Everyone has their own opinion, and like, everyone has their own, like,
and they're just
their thing.
Twitter, they're just trying to get people to listen to it. They're just listen. There should be a page of all of my instantaneous thoughts, all my throwaway pieces of genius that fall out of my mind grapes. I put them on a website, and people can like it. I mean, really, as a concept, when you look at it that way. It is just so attention-seeking. Like, the whole act of putting anything on social media is attention-seeking. And memes are just reposting, and they've just diluted the whole thing to the point where you can spend hours on Facebook and all you see are videos and memes and, like, gags. And it's just... None of it is actually any good. You're not learning anything.
No, you're not really. Like, it's sort of empty.
Yeah.
It's something to fill your day. It's the same kind of, you know. Whereas before, you might used to look at like a viral video, or you'd see like a new thing from like Red Bull or something. Now it's just everything is like, you know, dumb shit is viral.
Yeah, it's just. And sometimes it's just literally retarded shit. It is like people just doing stupid as fuck stuff.
But like, well, another thing that happens is that we see memes take over current events. And, you know, even pop culture to a point.
Mm.
Like, modern pop culture.
You see them on the news.
Yeah, and you see them on the news, and then you see the news people making them. And it's like... And the thing is that...
Trump!
Know, yeah, Trump's a living meme.
Trump is a living meme.
Like, name one bit of anything that Donald Trump has done, yeah, that hasn't been turned into a meme.
I know.
Like,
and that just spreads his message.
The whole, like, sexual, like, grabbing by the pussy thing. Like, that got turned into... that was on Family Guy, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, but memers went to town on that. If it's not a memer, write to me, I don't really care. And
yeah, fuck. I hate the whole, like, internet culture. It's everyone gang up on everything and just do everything to death.
But everyone does it, like... And it's, like, a whole, like, I love... Like, it's okay to like memes. And when people talk about memes in public, it's sort of...
Yeah, you know, people make meme jokes.
You're right there, mate, aren't you? Like,
yeah, people will openly make a meme joke and half the room will get it and they'll laugh. And I'm just like, what? Like,
or when people sort of do the whole, like, they swing and click their fingers at you, like, that's out of, like, a meme video.
Yeah, it's just some gif.
Yeah, and it's just like, you're there, like, all right, like, thank you for that.
Yeah,
you've
like,
not even ripped my life in any way.
You might as well wear a badge that says, like, I'm probably socially awkward.
No, it's easier than that, because then you don't have to like brush them all over with the socially awkward thing. You just put, my life is boring.
Yeah, I steal jokes from people
I
that
steal
shit
jokes
posted.
From, I steal jokes from people that have stolen those jokes.
Yeah, and it's all just the same
format.
Memes
are the lowest form of internet associate of internet communication.
Yeah.
Like, if you tag someone in a meme, you're not enriching their day. You're not telling them anything about how you are or how they are.
Yeah.
You're literally just making them open their phone and go, huh.
Like, that's it. That's all you ever
like,
get.
Occasionally, you do laugh at one, but... Like, that's why I'm smiling now. I can think of a few. But, like, most of the times, you open it and go, huh. Like,
yeah.
And that is literally
no,
it's it.
True. And then people repost those shit... The shittest ever thing to post on online is just those white blank boxes with pieces of text when they try and get all sentimental. It's like, you know your best friend is your best friend because they post... They tag you in memes 24/7. It's like, no... I have a life.
Yeah.
I'm not just on Facebook all the time tagging people in everything I see.
Yeah, we just we do a podcast chatting shit about it.
Yeah.
So, no, we're not chatting shit, but like offering a different perspective, because we're obviously, I don't think we're the only people that think like this.
No.
I'd be very surprised, like.
Yeah. But a lot of people love it. A lot. You meet I can't remember having a conversation with many people, you know, at the pub or something about, I'm bloody sick of memes, me. It's usually someone whaps out their phone.
And brings up a meme.
Yeah, like, it's there on Instagram.
Oh,
and one. Why would you want memes on Instagram? Like,
Memestagram.
Keep one of your social media apps clean of just lad Bible bullshit and all that stuff. Like, all the just meme culture, it's just... Like, what's it good for?
It's not good for anything.
So I think that went pretty well for our first podcast, but we are going to bring it to a close now. I think we covered our topics pretty well, hopefully.
I think we did.
Yeah, hopefully in post it comes together nicely. I got something, you know, good to post online. And we're not just been rambling for the last, you know, hour or however long we've been recording this.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think it's been good.
Yeah.
I feel like I've relieved some tension in my brain about
yeah.
About shit that was bothering me.
Venting about the world.
We vented about the 80s and everything that's come of that.
Yeah, and just the popularization of general pop culture and populism taking over fucking everything.
I'll leave you with two things. The 80s is here to stay.
Yeah.
And your boy's about to make good money off that. That, I can assure you.
Yeah, play some strategical bets on that. Yeah, it's probably a good time to be a film producer, because you don't really have to have any innovation. You can just... What did we do in 1983? Let's just give that a sequel.
I'll tell you what. At the time you've heard this, I'll have already done it, and it hopes to be out. If it is, link in the description below. But
right.
I want to make my video lo-fi shit on the Friday after this recording.
Oh, well, so... I'll put out a breaking news pod if that does happen. Alright.
Boy who releases video for no reason becomes meme.
It becomes living meme.
Fashion boy.
We're waiting for, like, you've heard of, you know, bronies that are like, and what are the people who are like sexually see themselves as like a pony?
Furries.
They, you're gonna, and they do it like in public, like you see them on the bus. And it's like, I know.
I don't want to think
it's like,
about
when
it.
Are we gonna see living memes?
You're talking to me, aren't you?
Yeah. That's a nice chilling thought to leave you with.
Wow.
I've been your host, James Asker. This has been Tom Hyam, my good friend.
Go
follow him on Day One. What's your Instagram
my
tag?
My Instagram is day1.jpg, so JPEG. But if I said day1.jpg, there might be people that wouldn't get that. And also on Snapchat at One More Tom, you'll just see pointless shit. Some good pictures of clothes and behind the scenes, which is on there now, actually. So
yeah, what he's working on.
This is
got a nice one of this little mic set up in the temporary studio, should we call it?
The temporary studio in the undisclosed location, because because we lost the footage the first time. This has gone really well with this. Second time lucky.
Alright, well, if you enjoyed this, if you didn't enjoy it, leave a bit of feedback. Leave a comment, tell me what you thought. I'm just really doing this to get some experience and to learn from it, learn how to do audio production right. So, you know, the feedback is well appreciated. Thank you and good night.
Goodbye.